You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's two for Thursday. Again, doesn't roll off the tongue. Hopefully I remember to check to make sure that the second episode actually published, because last week, yeah, it didn't do that. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Yeah, we had to skip yesterday. I just didn't have, like I've told you before, I don't want to just do podcast every day if I don't feel like I have something to add to the conversation. And I felt like we were really thin on Monday, but I still feel like I had something to add to the conversation. So, skipped yesterday knowing we had media availability today. Wanted to try to get in the mailbag early. Didn't happen. Was trying to get in Locked On Big Ten. Technical difficulties kept all that from going. But you get me twice today instead of three times. Well, technically, normally you'd get me twice. Regardless. So, this is not the mailbag episode, as you can tell by the title and everything when you pulled this up. You're gonna get me for a full hour-ish today. Obviously, we had Josh Gattis, we had Mike McDonald. I think that went rather well. I don't think there's necessarily anything like super groundbreaking per se, but there is one thing that I want to play. I put this on Twitter. Let's hear it right here. This is from Mike McDonald. I think a lot of people will really appreciate this. I know I do. So check this out.
In terms of this training camp, man, I mean, look, I've been telling guys, like, I haven't been in it long. This is like my 15th year coaching, something like that. But, I mean, this is the most excited I've been for a training camp. I'm ready to roll. I mean, it's time for ball. Like, the time for talking. Man, look, I love talking to you guys, but, like, the time for talking is over. I mean, it's for us to go do it, and I think our guys are ready to do that. So,
did you hear that? Do you get the part that I am thinking of? The time for talk is over. Isn't that, it's time for ball. Isn't that basically him just saying, do more, say less? No, I don't love it because of do more, say less. I love it in spite of that. Because I think it's really funny. But because you know how much I rag against the people that think that that basketball team wearing shirts was evidence that they were working hard. Granted, that was a good basketball team, but they were talkers, you know? Nonetheless, I think it's a good thing. We're going to focus on football. I like the mentality that Mike McDonald brings. I really do. I think that he's comes across as really sharp. I think I've told you, I've talked to some people who have that have gotten to kind of pick his brain before, and they're like, they walked away being like, that dude is super sharp. Like, he really knows his stuff. I think the big takeaways, and we're splitting this offense-defense, of course. So we'll tackle some of the defense first, and then we'll go to the offense. But I think some of the big takeaways from Mike McDonald is, like, aside from that, is, hey, we're not splitting atoms here defensively. That's not what we're doing here. This is still just football. Like, it's not necessarily going to take forever to get things going. It's like, it's not as complicated. This defense is not as complicated as it sounds, right? Like, because I asked him about how quickly can you get things done and ready before the season? Where are you going to be able to do a full install? And he's like, well, we've got a plan. Here's how we're going to do it. Then you get to the complexity of the defense, especially like, oh, you know, Wink Martindale at Baltimore Ravens, when they redid this defense, it was just so complicated. He's like, listen, it's not that complicated. Yeah, we changed things, different personnel, different things, and different looks. But the chaos isn't on the defensive end in the sense of he isn't about creating chaos for the guys running his scheme, which he admits it's not necessarily all Wink Martindale. It's not all Todd Grantham. It's a little bit of that, those, and does it factor in experience from some of the other, other coaches who also bring their own experiences. A little distracted right now, by the way, because Zuri dropped her little stuffed animal into a crevice where she can't get it, and I can't get it because I'm here talking, and she just looks like the saddest puppy I've ever seen. Quick aside. Granted, you probably won't see Zuri much because she doesn't like downstairs, but my plan is still, I'm hoping to still be able to move to video for the podcast. Like, you'll be able to still listen on whatever, you know, anything you're listening to now, but I'm going to add the YouTube capability, hopefully, if all goes to plan, this fall, at least starting week one. That's the hope. So maybe you get to see Zuri go all nuts. Anyway, I digress. I think that's really encouraging, though, when you talk about the grand scheme of the defense, that, hey, it's not that complicated. Our goal is to create chaos for the offense so that the offense, when they see it, they have no idea what's going on. Obviously, it's going to be multiple, but like some of this he was asked about, what are your outside linebackers? Are they edge rushers or like what are they? And he's like, listen, they're just defensive ends that we pushed back. Right? And which, you know, again, I think we cleared this up around Big Ten Media Days. I didn't really know what the outside linebacker groups were going to look like, right? Was it going to just be, you know, Taylor Upshaw, Aiden Hutchinson? Was it going to be Aiden Hutchinson and like another like linebacker type? So like, could it be Junior Colson as that other guy or Nakai Hill Green? Now we know it's just going to be the two defensive ends. So you really have two linebackers. I mean, it's not terribly different than what we were working with. I think the big difference is now Michael Barrett is a linebacker, whereas before he was a defensive back, essentially a Viper. So I think that's where it's a little bit different. Obviously, lots of praise for some guys like Mazi Smith, Chris Hinton. I asked about the cornerback battle. He said, it's more of a credit to DJ Turner than it is a knock on Vincent Gray that it's a battle for that position. But he's like, hey, we're still before fall camp here. So who knows how things are going to play out? And that's in terms of Jamon Green, who he said a lot of really nice stuff about. Ultimately, I mean, it wasn't terribly long with Mike McDonald. We definitely talked to Josh Gattis for a good 7-8 minutes longer. Partially, I feel like we didn't have questions because I feel like Mike McDonald he was ready to go do some football. Ready to go do some football. All right, let's talk a little bit about Josh Gattis here. What he had to say. I have some takeaways there. Probably forgetting some because I didn't transcribe everything from both. So I haven't like re-listened to it. I'm just going off of muscle memory here. Anyhow, betonline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Listen, NBA is over, NHL, Major League Baseball's in full swing. Football is back before you know. I mean, heck, we got a football game tonight, preseason. All in full swing. We're doing it. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV. With real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It's free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. Let's talk a little Josh Gattis, what he had to say. I think one of the things that I thought was really interesting was the way he talked about the offensive line. Now, I'm pretty bullish on the offensive line as it is, of course. We've gotten into that a bit. I didn't think they did a terrible job outside of the Michigan State game, but asked a couple questions about the offensive line. One thing that he kind of noted is it's all going to be about matchups. Because he says, like, we've got eight guys that could start. Eight guys with starting experience, or seven guys with starting experience in five spots. But they have eight guys, essentially, that are starting quality. Like Gattis mentions, like, we got guys like Carson Barnhart, Chuck Filiaga, who weren't even starters in the spring. Trente Jones, like guys that were just balling out. Trente Jones got a big mention. You know, but you know the one thing that the way this all kind of got spurned was talking about Zach Zinter because he could play center potentially. And it sounds like it's maybe more likely. And it wasn't, again, it's not a knock on Vistardis. I know some of you will, because some of you see walk on and again, the Michigan State game, how bad that went kind of overall, kind of forgetting the Minnesota game existed, of course. But it's one of those things where it's more that Zinter is just a beast and they want to try to get the best five guys. So they keep on saying best five guys. But it's like, okay, no, we're going to do it necessarily. You know, you might see Zinter at center for some snaps, and then some others you might see him at right guard type thing. Matchup-based, which would be interesting to see with an offensive line. You figure the good thing that comes out of last year is that so many guys played and were able to develop chemistry with one another is that maybe you can just plug and play, really, essentially. And if you think, like, this play works better with this guy or, hey, that's what the personnel they have out there, it'd be interesting to see an offensive line being run like a defensive line, not just chemistry-based. So the Zinter stuff, though, what's really interesting from that is that Josh Gattis isn't just saying like he did, I believe, back in, I think it was him, that said back in spring that he was like the engine that drives the offensive line. Now he's just flat out saying he might be our best offensive player, period. So that's different. Second-year player. Limited experience. Really good. And listen, I talked to a former player's dad earlier today, and he was saying, like, I honed in on Zach Zinter a little bit, and dude is just a mauler. Like, watching what he did even as a true freshman. And it's kind of like Josh Gattis said, like, we didn't have anything like this before. I'm going to read the quote. It said, Zach, we absolutely love. In fact, I'll tell you, Zach could potentially be our best offensive player. It's oftentimes people don't talk about who's your best offensive player as a lineman. Everyone thinks it's always got to be a skill guy, but that's how highly we think of Zach Zinter in this building. In fact, our players would think the same of him. He's a tremendous talent. Obviously, last year he started two games before he ended up getting hurt as a true freshman. But physically, he gives us something we don't have. He's smart, he's strong, he's tough, he's athletic. Zach, he's a special player. He's a very, very special player. I think that's really intriguing. We still have a lot to talk about from Gattis, so I'm just going to move on. The other thing that I wrote about was how Gattis seems to have learned from his mistakes. Now, I don't think the running back's rotation was his mistake per se. I'm going to place that blame. Estimated guess that was on Jay Harbaugh, because generally the way it works, and maybe it wasn't, so I don't know for sure. Generally the way it works is offensive coordinator calls a play, and then the position coach sends out the personnel. Okay, for this play, I'm going to send out this guy. So, but still, Gattis admits, like, yeah, the run game needed to be better. He's like, yeah, yards per play, cool. We did good. But we had games where we weren't even running 20 times in a game. Not entirely his fault. Michigan's offense was playing from behind every single game, literally, in 2020. But nonetheless, even if it is the running back's rotation, if it's whatever, you know, no matter what it is, like Gattis said, like with 2020, just kind of want to put it in the rear view, except for just remember the lessons that have been learned. You know? You figure that, okay, you want to kind of just burn the tape essentially and say, forget it, we need to move on. It's a new year. But at the same time, you need to remember the things that didn't work and remember not to repeat those mistakes. I thought it was really good accountability from Gattis because he flat out said, like, I've got to do better. So I think that that's really interesting. And the run game stuff, I think it's good because it's pretty clear. Like he said, Hassan Haskins is our bell cow. Boom, you got your number one guy. And he said, then we have Blake Corum. Boom, you got your number two guy. We already know Donovan Edwards is number three at this juncture. Certainly it can change. But now we have a pecking order. That's a mistake that was made last year, is that there was no pecking order. And everyone paid the price. Kind of got away from the meritocracy, essentially. It was keep everybody happy. And now that's not the case. So, you know, you hope that they stop playing with the idea of being scared of people transferring or people being unhappy, because it just made everybody unhappy before. So offensively, you have all that, you know, all of these other, I don't know, I lost it. I lost my train of thought in the middle of saying it. Anyway, because I started thinking about, like, oh, the other positions. Because we didn't necessarily talk at length about, like, wide receivers. I wanted to get to that, but I also wanted to ask about Donovan Edwards, so I did. Which I need to re-listen to that audio. There will be an article coming out on that probably later today or early tomorrow is probably more likely. But, I mean, you just can't help but be excited about Donovan Edwards. I don't know why more people aren't, like, going nuts over him. I know why, actually. Because y'all feel shell-shocked because the last several five-star running backs that have come through here haven't exactly worked out. Going all the way back to Brandon Miner just doesn't seem like there's been a five-star that's really worked out. Other ones like, what, Kelly Baraka? This doesn't seem like Michigan does good with the five-star. They do good with the three-star, the four-star, right? Mike Hart, Caron Higdon. But you bring in a Derek Green, a Ty Isaac, it doesn't seem to work out that great. I don't think Sam McGuffey was a five. I think he was a four. Anyway, I think that you should be super ecstatic about Donovan Edwards. So, nonetheless, let's continue the offense talk. Try to cut this one a little bit short. I was going to try to do one segment on each and then give you some whatever. I'll give you the whatever still, but just maybe won't spend as much time on it. First, I got to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what it is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's low carb, low sugar, high protein. It's low calorie as well. Everything you want. It's so delicious. I eat two at a time, and I've bought dozens of boxes at this point. Figure I've been usually buy like two boxes at a time. It's been a year and a half since I started promoting Built Bar. So yeah, you do the math. Because I usually do like two boxes a month-ish. On top of whatever they send me, that's how much I go through them. I put my money where my mouth is. I'm telling you, it's delicious. They're incredible. Very good for you. Natural ingredients and such. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. All right, so what else offensively? I mean, we talked about Alan Bowman, Dalen Baldwin. Obviously, the evaluation is really difficult with those guys because they haven't even set foot on the field in front of coaches yet. So there's still a lot to work out as far as that's concerned. Tomorrow will be their first day, and they still won't even be in pads yet. So still working out some of the things yet, but lots of stuff I want to know about, but it's just that we haven't really gotten to. Like I said, I want to know about the wide receivers. But Gattis talked a little bit about the mentality, talked about being PSP? Precise. Something. I don't remember it. That's which is bad. I haven't listened to it again. So, but nonetheless, it just seems like that they really want to, they want to be strong. They want to be fast. They want to be precise. They want to pay attention to detail. These are the things that are really important. Like the detail thing is what I really kind of get from this offense, which is what we've been hearing for a while. Gattis just seems like he's settled in. He's seems like it's making sense, like the things that worked, the things that didn't work. And talk about the collaboration quite a bit about him and Sharon Moore. I think people like are going way too overboard, by the way, when it comes to like Sharon Moore getting the co-offensive coordinator. Like, in the sense that, like, and Gattis says, like, this is our team's offense. This isn't my offense. But, like, let's be real. It's Josh Gattis' offense, essentially. I mean, other people will bring ideas to it. I mean, that's just how any team works, right? So, I mean, I guess it's a little bit more collaborative than, like, say, Don Brown's defense. I don't think anyone else was bringing ideas to Don Brown's defense. So, I guess I defeated what I'm saying there, but with the offense in particular, I think it's Josh Gattis' offense essentially. And I think that for some reason, like, I think, yeah, it's the step up in responsibility for Sharon Moore, but I don't think it's like this huge step up. I don't think it was like getting the co-offensive coordinator title was like giving Josh Gattis notice. I don't think that's what that was. But I do think that this is a more collaborative effort. But you still hope that on game day it's not, right? Because that was the issue that people had before. Again, I've said this a million times. It's a thing of when things are going good, you don't mind that Brady Hoke doesn't wear a headset. Things are going bad. What a fool. He doesn't even wear a headset. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's like when Michigan with the collaborative play calling, the way Harbaugh always did it from San Diego to Stanford to the San Francisco 49ers to early Ann Arbor. And then 2017 comes around, it looks like a mess and people are like, I don't want it anymore. Okay. Anyway, I'm all over the place, but so we're going to wrap this up so that I can get a little bit more pointed with the mailbag. But I do want to talk about two other things. Number one, rest in peace, rest in power to Brandon Engelman, who was one of my favorites back when I was in school, safety. I wanted to say defensive back and then went nuts. Safety passed away. Unsure of causes, but he passed away at the age of 36, unfortunately. Really sad news. Really hate to hear that. So prayers out to his family, friends, loved ones, all of them, obviously his former teammates. I mean, 36, it's only 3 years younger than me. That's terrifying. And on a high note, on a good note, I just have to say it was awesome to be back in Schembechler Hall. I don't think you realize how long it's been because, yeah, we did kind of have a football season. But that was my first time, for all of us in the media, that was our first time going back and being in person at Schembechler Hall since December 2019. Like, do you know how much has happened in the world since then? I mean, outside of the pandemic, like, I am staring at an Emperor Palpatine lightsaber on my desk. I have a dog I didn't have back then. Like, I wasn't a Star Wars person. I wasn't living in Ann Arbor. Like, the world is completely changed on a personal level. And obviously, it's also changed on a complete other thing because of some reason. I don't know what it is. But I just think it's incredible to be back. Hopefully we're able to continue to be in person. There's obviously the chance that if, you know, there's guidelines change, university level or anything like that, that we could go back to Zoom. But I mean, just to be able to be in that building where everything happens, you know, the room where it happens. Not going to go into a Hamilton thing because then I won't stop. I just think it's incredible to finally kind of be back. And it's also evidence that football is really around the corner. I mean, we are less than a month away at this point. So, and heck, we're only a couple weeks away from like week zero, essentially. So we're a month away from Michigan, but week zero is going to start a bit before that. So it's coming. Get excited. I know a lot of you aren't. I know a lot of you are, I'll get excited when that last week in November comes and whatever, but man, enjoy the ride regardless, you know? If your whole enjoyment of Michigan football is based 100% on the Ohio State game, I don't know. Got to enjoy the build up to that game for better or worse. And I'm just excited that things are feeling more normal. And hopefully they stay that way. We can all be in a stadium together. Because that's what we're building towards. All right. We're going to do the mailbag next. So make sure you check that out. Yeah, that's all I got for this. So we'll talk to you in a minute. Thanks for listening. Peace.